Now let's listen into the interview with the Botswana radio station Gabs FM, where Pastor Stephen Anderson shares his views on air. Now the interview is courtesy of Gabs FM.
Seven:17 is your time. Very good morning to you, and thank you so much for being with us on Breakfast with Reg. Welcome to The Point. Controversial you are, that you cannot deny that. Pastor Steve Anderson is in Botswana. He's that pastor who South Africa said, you know what, we are not going to be to allow you to come into the country because what we think you are preaching is nothing but hate speech. Well, he's agreed to speak to us this morning. He's in the studio. Gentlemen, very good morning to you. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. Let me start off with you, Pastor Anderson. First, how has been the reception in Botswana?
Oh, the reception's been great. In fact, the reception here is better than the reception in the United States.
Yeah, and why do you think that is?
Well, I think that people here are more friendly and willing to talk, whereas in the United States, sometimes people are just too busy, life is more fast-paced, and people are less religious in the United States, so a lot of them just don't have an interest in spiritual things.
Right.
So here we can walk up and down the street, and people love to talk. And when I preach the gospel to them, they're happy to listen, and they like it, and we get along great. I love this country.
Right. You don't preach the gospel. You spew hate speech. That's what some people have been saying.
Well, they said the same thing about Jesus. They called Jesus the devil. They called him Beelzebub. And, you know, they killed him for a reason, because they did not like him. And Jesus said, if they hated me, you know that they will hate you also.
Do you believe that you spew hate speech? Do you believe that your approach is, it may be uncomfortable for some people? Do you believe that it could be wrong?
My approach is not wrong, because if you read Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and then you read about Jesus and the Apostle Paul, they preached hard. Jesus, the Bible tells us Jesus yelled when he preached. He called pastors like this guy to my left who wear long robes. He said the Sadducees and the Pharisees were serpents and vipers, and he said they were of the devil. And he said, beware of the scribes that like to go in long robes. He said, watch out for those guys.
So you believe that he's false?
This guy to my left is for sure false, because he thinks homosexuality is fine. You know, that is just so contrary to the Bible. Why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Because they were filthy homosexuals.
Are you the judge?
God is the judge.
No.
God is the judge.
Okay. You have nine kids.
Just a sec,
Rev, please. Pastor Anderson, you've got nine kids.
Yes, I'm married with nine children.
Right. You are 35 years old.
35
right?
years old.
And you started your own church at 24.
When I was 24 years old.
You believe that you're destined to be?
Yes, I do. Absolutely. I believe that God has chosen me to be a prophet to the nations, to preach the word of God, and to sound it out with no fear, with boldness. Not like these preachers who are only interested in people's money, so they tell them what they want to hear for money. I don't want your money. I want to preach the truth, and you can like it or lump it.
Leave this guy. This guy is a fake, and we cannot come and entertain our faith. We are not here to see who. We are not here for a debate. We are here for for talking, for discussing, for dialoguing, to know what is the way forward. What are we saying about the gays, about the lesbians in the society? And if somebody, a fake person like this who claims to be a pastor, talks like this, and expect us, the listener, to listen to this kind of rubbish, I doubt his Christianity. I doubt himself. I doubt his love, because Christianity is all about love. I can't take it when I hear a God-fearing person, somebody who claims to be a preacher of the word, to say that he is homosexual. What makes him to be special than other people? What makes him to think that he is better than other people, even at all himself? We are all sinners. That's why he just came here. And we have to preach the gospel of love, me and him.
Well, you know what? God showed what he thought about homosexuals when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And in the New Testament, he refers back to that. And he says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh or queer flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So if you want an example of what God thinks about homosexual, it's fire and brimstone being rained on Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't know what Bible this guy's reading, but open the Bible to Genesis 19 and it's crystal clear.
I guess we have to know the Bible and the context of the Bible. Why was the Bible written in that way? The quote that he's doing is out of context.
But Reverend,
he's
doing it according to his wish. Reverend, have you ever, I was asking him the same thing, have you ever maybe at one point in your life said to yourself, maybe I'm doing things the wrong way. Maybe this is not what God is saying I should do. Maybe what I'm preaching is wrong.
My brother, I went for theological studies, okay? Don't take me like any other person you see around. My lectures in the university will tell you that I was one of the best students in my time. I did my diploma in pastoral theology. I've got my degree in theology. I've got master's in theology. I've studied theology left, right, and center.
That doesn't make you right.
And listen here, Jeff. Listen, Reg. I always want people to come and correct me. Those who understand the scripture better than myself.
Right. Pastor Anderson, what do you say to that?
Well, I think that the listeners at home are smart enough to figure out who's fake and who's not.
Yes.
Let them decide. And this guy can brag about all his theological degrees and brag about all these accolades. You know what I got? I got the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And the Bible says in Leviticus 20:13
don't think any spirit is the spirit from God. What makes you that the spirit that tells you that is the spirit of God? You
should know the spirit
that many spirits. Maybe I'm following the spirit of Ebenezer.
Well, because the spirit that tells me that agrees with the Bible in Leviticus 20:13 when it says that if a man lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If the Bible agrees with my spirit, then I got the Holy Spirit. You have an unclean spirit.
Right.
That spirit is yours, my brother. That's why you are saying you are against people.
Well, you know what? I love people too. I love children, which is why I hate pedophiles. And you can't love the flowers without hating the weeds.
There's a lot happening in the studio this morning. I see immigration officials just outside the studio. We are trying to find out what they are doing here because I know I don't have an interview with them. I don't know whether they are here for you, Pastor Anderson. Talking about immigration, we understand the way you had to get to Botswana is through Uganda. Is that
Ethiopia?
Ethiopia. You can't go through the UK.
No, I cannot go through the UK, cannot go through Johannesburg or Cape Town.
Because of your sentiments?
Well, because I've been banned from South Africa and the United Kingdom, because they're afraid of what I have to say.
Yes.
They're afraid of the truth.
Yes.
So they want to silence me, because they know that the words that I'm preaching from the Bible have power, and they're scared
right.
of the truth.
All right. I'm going to go to the news bulletin. We are going to continue this discussion on the other side, because I haven't been able to take your calls. I can see Lilini Tsihonanunyana. But like I was saying, immigration officials, for the first time ever, they're here, and I believe that they want to have a word with Pastor Anderson. We'll try to find out what the whole issue is about.
So what exactly did Pastor Anderson tell you?
Well, it looks like he's not going to be able to fly out today, but they got him a new flight tomorrow to South Africa.
Oh, that's good. Dude, this sucks, man. And the whole reason he wanted to leave today is because the homos were threatening to kidnap, rape, and kill him.
Stupid.
So hopefully... He said he didn't say he was banned, right, from South Africa?
No. He still plans to meet you for the soul winning event, but who knows when he's going to get there now, because he has to take a longer route to get there.
All right. Well, as long as he makes it to Botswana, I mean, because that's the main reason we're going over there. It's for Garrett's wedding and for Faith Award Botswana. I think it's right over here, United Terminal 2.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, he said pick him up at United. So it should be up here.
Here, let me call him to see if get a hold of him.
So I was less than an hour from getting on my flight, and they tell me that I'm banned from even connecting flights by the UK. England will not even let me in their airport. So I have to fly out tomorrow morning through Germany.
Good
and
night.
Hopefully Germany doesn't ban me, but they called security, and so far, they said they can't promise me, but that so far Germany looks good, so I guess I'll find out tomorrow morning. I'm banned from the home of my ancestors.
Right.
There's a reason that we fought for our independence from England, right? Right now, we're pretty happy to be independent from them. If they're banning this kind of preaching, right? And it's still possible, depending on what happens Tuesday, that I could be banned from South Africa. Yeah. We don't know. I mean, I've already been banned from one country. It's just my words that are so dangerous, right? I mean, all this is about speech. Just because I've said things, just because I've spoken the word of God, I've preached what the Bible clearly says. It's not even like an interpretation or an extrapolation. I mean, the Bible says that if a man lie with another man, he shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. I preach that, I'm banned from one of the largest nations in the world, the United Kingdom.
The top story at the half hour, the Department of Home Affairs has barred anti-gay American pastor Stephen Anderson from visiting South Africa.
Stephen Anderson and members and or associates of his church are prohibited from entering the Republic of South Africa. I have informed the Director General that I have identified Stephen Anderson and members and or associates of his church as undesirable persons. Furthermore, I have withdrawn their visa exemption status enjoyed by all Americans. This is on the basis that I am certain they promote hate speech as well as advocate social violence. Stephen Anderson will be advised that he is a prohibited person in South Africa.
I'm really tired, man. I've been up all night. It took me like 4 hours to figure out a way to get to Botswana without going to Johannesburg. I'm just looking at like pages and pages of flights, and it's just everything connects in Johannesburg or London. So now not only have I been banned from England, I'm also banned from South Africa itself now. So I can't go to South Africa for the Soul Winning Marathon. And the government has stated that they're calling every airline to cancel my flights to Johannesburg. So I was up all night last night calling the airline and searching online, trying to find a way to get to Botswana without going through Johannesburg, because it's just every flight seemed to connect through Johannesburg. But I finally got it figured out. I'm heading for Germany and then Ethiopia and then into Botswana. So hopefully Germany doesn't ban me. You know, the way things are going, right? I'm on a roll here. They're trying to make it sound like, oh, well, we're going to stop you in Botswana too, but it ain't happening. I think that the person most likely to be banned is you. Because our tickets were bought on the same transaction. But because I changed it, we're on totally different itineraries now. Hopefully that'll separate it.
Yeah.
I think you're the number one most likely to get banned besides me, and then Garrett would be next. I don't think that there's any way in Hades that they're going to ban Valerian or Teresa Jones or Lola. You know, how are they even going to know? Or Shane and Rob, Gnar. How are they going to know? People that are coming from Canada. So, yeah, Gnar is not going to get banned. If not, Gnar is going to lead this event. All right, let's try this again.
Yep.
Third time's the charm. All right, guys, I am here at the airport. I'm all checked in, got my bags packed, got my coffee. Ready to go to Africa, about to embark on a trip of a lifetime. I got my camera gear, got my laptop, got my script. So if I have any downtime, I can edit my script. But I'm ready to go, I can't wait. I'm a little nervous, hopefully I get through, make it through all of the checkpoints, make sure, hopefully I don't get banned from entering the country, but it's looking good.
Next stop, don't forget to say hello.
Maya.
Am besten.
Nee, das ist die von Streich.
What?
Ah, da, genau.
You're banned from South Africa? Yeah.
Soll ich da kommen? Yeah.
I don't know, that's what I heard.
Why?
Ja, aber ich hab's ja angeklickt. Yes, und dann gibt es mir trotzdem nicht.
No, they just informed us that they will not let him in.
He's been, hey, Jerry, he's been banned from South Africa.
Ihn versuchen zu borden, bitte.
Hast du ihn mal zu borden?
Yes, we're banned from South Africa.
Nee, unable.
Versuch's mal mit einer anderen Bordkarte.
Ja, das geht noch.
Because we're going straight through to Botswana. We're not even, we're just...
You don't know why the South African, there was a South African government is denying you. They must
oder
du sollst
anfangen mit Aufladen.
Okay.
Yeah, we must have a
clearance. Die zwei Gäste, Wittenberger. Das ist immer noch nicht sicher, aber wahrscheinlich nicht.
Wer ist der Gast?
Wittenberger.
Hast du jemanden da?
Nee, noch nicht.
Weil er hat gerade...
This is Garrett. We're at Frankfurt, Germany. Our plane is taking off right now. We were banned at the gate and told that the South African government is not allowing us to get in. So we'll just have to find an alternative route. But there goes the plane. And we're just going to have to go to the ticket counter to find out what's going to happen next.
Yep, we're going to have to go some other way. I mean, this was our flight, but it is backing out right now as we speak. We are not going to make it on. We have been officially banned from entering into South Africa. It's crazy, huh?
It's a good-looking plane, but just missing a few people.
I guess we have our own little personal escort here. It's gonna make sure we leave, all right? Cannot believe this happened.
I can.
You can?
I'm surprised Gnar got caught up.
Yeah, Gnar, what did you do, dude?
I have no idea what I did. I didn't do anything. How did they know me?
Paul, I got it all figured out. I've got new flights for you guys. You're going to be going through Amsterdam and then Nairobi, Kenya. But then Garrett is going to have to go through Istanbul and looks like Zambia.
All right, so we're all on different flights, but that's great. At least you got it figured out so we can get there in time for the wedding.
Yep. Yeah, I've been awake for 22 hours straight right now.
That's rough.
You guys have a rough couple days ahead of you. At least I'm sleeping in the bed.
A chair propped up against the door right there.
So we finally landed, we're here, we're at the airport. Everything is going great so far. Garrett got in, Pastor Anderson is in. We are here in Botswana. Just minus a couple of my bags. A couple of my bags turned up missing, but the ticket counter lady seemed very confident that they were gonna arrive in a couple days here. So super, super excited about this trip. Well, hi, you're here.
Hey, welcome to Botswana.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey.
Well, we made it safely. We're finally here.
Oh man, look who it is.
Hey, what's up?
Dude.
What's up, man?
We made it.
Glad you're here, man.
Yeah, we're alive.
So much fun. I'm a local, man. What's up?
Dude, good to have you, man. We made it.
I'm local by now.
All right, so tell us the story here, if you got time.
The morning service? Yeah, I'm on hold figuring out the luggage debacle. So we show up this morning and there's a van full of protesters, and maybe like five or six of them. And they all said they're from Botswana, but none of them were black. You know, so I think they're like foreign students studying at the University of Botswana is what's going on. So they're holding up signs, Botswana doesn't want you here, blah, blah, blah. Well, there was this old man who came into the church, and he was acting like he was just there for church. He was acting like a normal person. But through talking to this guy, it came out that he was one of these filthy sodomites. He's a pervert. He's a dirty old man.
What's that?
I'm not impossible to reach.
Or are you a homosexual?
Well, I'm not heterosexual.
You're not? What are you?
Well, I'm just not heterosexual, that's all.
Then what are you a fag?
Well, that's what people call me on
the... Well,
on
then get the hell out of here.
Hey. Why?
Get this
Why?
Guy. This, you can't be here.
Why can't sure. I be here?
You can't. Homosexuals aren't allowed. Get out.
So I just grabbed the guy and just dragged him out of the church. I mean, this is the first service. I felt right at home. I felt like I was back in Phoenix. And then the TV station came and interviewed me, and he's putting on a big show to them, going to them like, oh, I didn't even do anything. I wasn't causing any trouble, and they just dragged me away. And then he was like saying, oh, I'm so sorry, and trying to shake my hand, and oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm just telling him, like, get away from me, you disgusting pervert, you know, like, get out, you're not welcome here. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. He's like getting on his knees and begging me forgiveness. No, yes, he got on his knees. Yes, I'm here, yes.
I'm part of the
So we already had a lot of drama even on the first service, day one.
Then you weren't even there.
No, I wasn't even there.
All right, everybody, welcome to our service. This is a brand new church. Today is the very first Sunday. We were actually supposed to be starting next Sunday, but we got here early, so we decided to just start early. So we're still kind of getting things together and getting organized, but this is our very first service here in Botswana. I've never even been to Africa before. This is my first time. I just got here 3 days ago, and then Brother Garrett Kirschway, who is going to be the main preacher here, he's never been to Africa. He just got here 3 hours ago. So we're really excited to be here. And this is a church with a goal to preach the gospel to everyone, to get people saved. One of the big things that we do at our church is what we call soul winning, okay? And soul winning is when we go out and we just talk to people. We just open the Bible and just show them how to be saved. Because the Bible tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I just want to mention that where I'm from in the United States of America, you know, I've been soul winning for 18 years, every week. 18 years, I go out and I tell people about Jesus. I knock on their doors. I walk up and down the streets preaching the gospel. And when we go soul winning in America, a lot of people do not want to listen. But we keep going anyway, even though they don't want to listen. And we will go for literally 2, 3, 4 hours where no one will listen to the gospel sometimes. And it takes us a few hours to get someone saved. We have to go out for hours and hours, and then we'll get someone saved. But let me tell you, when we went out this afternoon, soul winning today, here in Botswana, people are much more open to the gospel than anything I've ever seen. I mean, this is the most receptive place that I've ever been. This is the best place to go soul winning that I've ever seen. Even the people who did not believe in Jesus, they still listened to us, and they allowed us to preach to them. And, you know, the hardest part is just getting people to listen. And once people listen, many of them will get saved. And so I can understand now why the devil did so much to try to stop us from being here. Because this place is white unto harvest. It's the best soul winning I've ever seen. I've been doing this for 18 years. So I'm very happy to be in Botswana, and I'm excited to see how many people we can get saved. All right, at this time we're going to take our Bibles, and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now, the part of this chapter that I really would like to focus in on is verse number 7 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. The Bible reads, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And that's what I want to preach about tonight, is the fact that God has not given us the spirit of fear. And we need a church in Botswana that will preach hard against sin and stand up and tell people, no, and not fear man or not fear the news media and not fear the protesters or the sodomites, not fear the government, but to just stand up and preach the word of God, unfiltered, uncensored, to preach the whole Bible with no fear. That's what we need. But let me show you this important point, okay? The Bible says right here in verse 7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power," right? Powerful preaching, not scared, weak, timid preaching. Powerful preaching, bold preaching, right? But look at the next word. "But of power and of love." Now, why is that there? Why does it mention love? Not fear, but power and love and a sound mind. I'll tell you why. Because the preacher who preaches you the truth, and he's not afraid to preach the truth, it's because he loves you. He loves you. Now, the preacher who doesn't want to offend you, so he sugarcoats everything and just preaches you part of it, he loves himself. Actually, this is what he loves: his wallet. He loves his wallet. He loves his money. And so he wants to make sure to just get as many people to come to church as he can and just have a good old time and woo and have a little party. But he's not going to preach against your sin because he doesn't really love you. He doesn't really care about you. He cares about this. But you know what? You know what the devil tries to say? We're hateful. Hate group. Oh, you're bringing hate to Botswana. That's what they said about us on the news. But here's the thing. If you love the flowers, you must hate the weeds. Think about it. If you love the flowers, you have to hate the weeds. If you love the children, you will hate the pedophile. I mean, it just makes sense. I mean, it's obvious. And then look at the next words. Verse number 8. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." Because of the fact that fear is not of God, when we're fearing man and fear, he says, because of that, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Why don't you open your mouth to your friend and tell them how to be saved and give them the gospel of Jesus Christ? Don't be ashamed. You say, well, it's embarrassing. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. He said, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And you know what the next thing he said? Don't be ashamed of me. Right? And you say, well, why would they be ashamed of Paul? He said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Paul is in prison. Paul is in prison. He got arrested for preaching, and they put him in prison, and he's chained up in prison. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And he said, I like this guy Onesiphorus. You know what I like about him? He wasn't ashamed of my chain. He wasn't embarrassed to be associated with the word of God, and he wasn't embarrassed to be associated with the man of God. And so we need to make sure that fear does not creep in. Some people need to, tonight, just get on their knees tonight before they go to bed and just pray and say, Lord, help me never to be scared. Take away the fear, Lord, and give me boldness. Give me power. Because God will give us that spirit of boldness if we ask him to do so. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the Holy Spirit, Lord, which is not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And Lord, we pray that you would protect us. You promised that even through the valley of the shadow of death, you would always be with us, Lord. And even when we're alone, help us not to be scared because we know that you're with us, Lord. And Lord, I confess to you that I'm a human being and sometimes I'm fearful and I have the wrong fear, Lord. But Lord, I pray that you would give me boldness, and I pray that you would give every single person who's here tonight boldness and take away the fear. Help us to fear not. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, we're dismissed. Thank you for being here. Pula! Thank you.
We believe that the marriage has to be blessed by the pastor. So we thought you are going to bless the wedding in the morning. And then after the morning, that morning session, they will leave for photo shooting, right? After the photo shooting, then that is when the ceremony will start in the tent, right? Then we just enjoy. It's just a simple thing. We're just going to enjoy in the food, enjoy and all that. But there will be a lot of people. That I can guarantee. There will be a lot of people.
Great.
Yeah, there will be a lot of, but
he has an appointment with the radio station tomorrow morning.
7 a.m.
You have an appointment.
Yeah.
The radio station guy.
Yeah, I have to be on the radio at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Which radio station?
Gaps.
Hey, you should say 6.
Yeah, 6 a.m.
Gaps FM.
Yeah, Gaps FM, yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, she's getting there at 5, so I want to get there way early, yeah.
You should just say 6.
Well, you're going to have a car later anyway. We can just go down there,
if
too.
We can pick it up.
Yeah. Well, we will later today, sometime, yeah.
Okay.
Because it's important.
Yeah, plan everything.
That's our first president.
Yeah.
The father.
And this is the son. Our current president.
Said you tell
my mom loves the president.
Hey.
Very much.
Yes. Hey, ma. So this is your mother, right?
Yeah.
Kerata Botswana Tata.
Kerata Botswana Tata.
This is Garrett.
My friend,
Jumela.
Jumela Mbora, Jumela Mbongwana.
Leine Lameke, Moruti Sutafani Anderson. It's Wakwa
America.
Kerata Botswana Tata.
Why, better bots 50.
Ah, bots 50.
Bots 50.
Oh, we can see. Nah, he beat you Mpo.
Mpo. Yeah, Mpo. Yeah.
Yes.
Gift.
Like
gift from God.
Emma.
Emma.
What about the wedding? Is this a bigger wedding than most weddings?
This is the biggest wedding in Botswana. I'm expecting thousands of people.
So how many people do you expect?
I can an estimate of 1,000.
What? No. No.
I'm kidding you.
So what's the funnest part of the wedding for a kid? Like, what are the kids like about the wedding the most?
I like when people dance.
So are you going to be dancing at the wedding?
You will see. I like to sing. I like to dance. A wedding day.
Normally, it's not done by men. It's done by the ladies.
So what do I do?
You women, you don't do the relations. It's normally done. You'll see most of the ladies will be doing that.
That's funny.
I think you can get your stuff. You're done with it.
Yeah.
That's pastan, sir.
Okay, Anderson. You make it here.
What's that?
I'm sorry, you make it here.
Yeah, I made it.
Oh.
I went through Ethiopia.
I was trying to block you out.
You were trying to block me?
Yeah.
That wasn't very nice.
I was fine. You know, I'm surprised. I was just here.
No, I allowed you to come in.
Yeah.
I was surprised because, you know, I was talking to the...
Yes.
I was talking to the friends and the minister. No, don't allow him to come in.
Were you surprised that some people did not want you yet?
No, of course not. Doesn't surprise me at all.
Why weren't you surprised?
Well, because there are always people who hate the Bible and hate the truth. I mean, they killed Jesus, after all. So there's always going to be evil people out there. Yeah.
We're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much, guys, for coming through. Pastor Anderson, I pray to the Almighty that before you go, if immigration officials are not going to be whisking you out of the country anytime soon, or we are understanding that even intelligence officials now, intelligence agents may be around, if you are not being whisked out of the country anytime soon, I hope before you leave, you'll come and speak to us again.
Thank you. I'd be glad to.
Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Bottom line is there is an issue about status in the country. We cannot explain that now.
Okay.
But we shall require you to accompany us to immigration headquarters.
Okay.
You are not basically under arrest.
Mm-hmm.
We are not talking about arrest.
You're requesting me to accompany you.
Requesting you to accompany us.
I'd be glad to.
So that you can see the highest authorities. They will explain on the modalities, what is the issue, and how we can be assisted.
Sure.
That's what we want to talk about. You are a man of reputation. We have to respect that. We are not like anybody.
So is there anything else that you can tell me about why this is happening? Or?
Well, the reason why I'm saying this is because you know, I'm limited to say...
They don't want you to talk about it until I get to the bosses.
There's an issue here because we understand that some journalists, you know,
right.
Outside.
Should I talk to them? Do I have time?
Let's try to avoid them. Let's try to avoid them because, as you know, journalists are very inquisitive.
Right.
They may try to sensationalize issues that are not sensational.
Right.
So this
well, people want to know what the government's doing.
Yeah.
They like to monitor the government. Yeah.
But the bottom line is we have nothing to explain.
Yeah.
Just request you to.
Okay.
So they just want to go and make things known.
Okay. Sounds good. Let's do it. Yes, okay. Yes, that is, thank you.
Will you let us know if you are arrested? Let us know if you are Anderson. If you are arrested, let us know. If you are chucked out of the country, let us know.
You'll know how to get out, right?
Do I go to the middle?
Yeah, I can get to the middle.
Good morning, sir.
Morning.
How are you doing?
Very good.
Can I see your passport?
Yes, sir.
Unfortunately, sir, we've been listening to you on the radio. Unfortunately, sir, glad unwanted in this country, so you have to leave this country.
Just like that?
Yeah.
So is there any way that I can appeal that decision?
No, you can't. It's not in the immigration.
So you guys lied to me then? Because when you guys picked me up, you said that I was not being deported. You said that I was not being sent out of the country. I was told that you just wanted to explain things to me. I was lied to when I was brought here. That's not what I was told when I came down here. I was told that I specifically asked, and the media specifically asked, if I was being sent out of the country, and the people who picked me up said no.
I can already understand. You have to actually understand.
Okay, if you're forcing me to leave, then I will leave.
Obviously, we are forcing you to leave.
Okay.
Because there's an order from the officer.
Then I will leave.
Yeah, we have to leave today.
Okay, I will leave today.
This gentleman will make arrangements for you to leave this country today.
Okay, I will. If you are making me leave, then I will leave.
Yes, yeah, we're making you leave, actually.
The procedure is you have been declared by the to be a protected immigrant. As, after that declaration, you are supposed to be escorted until the airport, or sometimes even up to the country of destination.
So I can't get my bags in?
So from now, you are not going to have any freedom. In other words, you'll be under escort throughout until we know.
So I'm under arrest then?
Yeah, definitely under arrest.
Okay.
Not almost.
That's
seriously under arrest.
Okay.
So in other words, you are deterred from any privilege of liberty until you leave the country.
So I have no liberty until I leave the country?
To talk to anyone.
So I have to just not talk to anyone?
To use your phone.
Actually, okay.
I'm going to take your phone now.
Okay. You're going to take my phone away?
You want your phone. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that is a procedure. So from here up to after the time you board a plane, you won't be allowed to communicate with anybody.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
So I'll give you all my electronic devices.
Can I get your phone?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
What is the question?
First, where is Pastor Anderson, and why has he been deported? Because we've just seen a statement on BW government saying that he has been deported.
In terms of the laws of this country, it has been found necessary to declare him undesirable in terms of the Immigration Act.
He's been seen as an undesirable person. Why?
Because of this statement and a host of other things that have informed that decision.
Yes.
Which we may not be sharing all over.
Why not? Why is it a secret?
The other detail, I'm not in a position to share it all over, yes.
Okay. Now, how safe is he? Where is he now as we speak?
I am speaking from my office. I know that he is with the agencies who are dealing with the deportation process. I don't know where exactly he is, but I can assure you he's safe. he will be facilitated to go back to his country.
Yes, because the reason why I'm asking all these questions also is because he didn't come here alone. He has an entourage that he came with, and I wanted to find out whether they've also been briefed sufficiently so that they can understand the circumstances behind his deportation. And
I don't know. You may have to check with them, but all I know is that this gentleman has been saved.
Okay, Minister, thank you. Minister, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
All right.
Stephen Anderson had to be deported back to the United States this afternoon. He was earlier barred from entering South Africa. Botswana has not made it clear why Anderson is a prohibited immigrant. The pastor faced heavy backlash from the LGBTI community in Botswana. Now, Anderson apparently arrived in the country on Thursday. These are the exclusive pictures with ANN 7, where the pastor can be seen sitting at a radio interview in a radio channel that is called Gabs FM. Now, the pic also shows security officials sitting in the reception area while the pastor speaks to the radio. It was after this interview that he was asked to leave the country.
This guy and anybody else who belongs to that church, should we know about them, we will hit them with exactly the same pen, because according to 29.1D, they belong to an organization and or association that advocates racial hatred and or social violence.
Headache. It's incredible.
Did they detain you?
No. We made it to immigration. We're asking for you guys. Oh, yeah, they said Pastor Anderson's never been there.
These guys asked me, like,
and they told us to leave.
Got a tie.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. Did you listen to the interview?
Yes, I listened to the interview. Do you have the house keys?
I have the house
keys. Oh, cool.
Yeah. Do you want to say something to the media?
I'm getting married in a couple days here, so I plan on getting married. And, you know, my plan was to live here, get a permanent residence, but maybe, you know, maybe they're not going to allow me to have permanent residence. But that's my plan, was to get married in a couple days and take over the church that he preached in. I don't know what the future of that is. I plan on continuing to do that, but we'll have to see what happens.
So I think the way forward is for you to choose or up to one of your guys here, so that you proceed with the signing of the documents tomorrow.
You want to do it? Stand in and
best man.
Be my best man?
Sure.
Okay.
I'd be honored, Brother Dave. So tomorrow we have to sign that document, right?
Yeah, okay. We have to sign the document.
So you're the best man now.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. Thursday is early in the morning, right?
Yeah, Thursday's early, but even tomorrow I would prefer we do it
in the morning. Now we're preaching at the school tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably immediately after preaching.
Okay.
So you're preaching at the school.
Yeah, so we'll give it a shot.
I'm thinking, Garrett, there are all these noise about the
they should leave.
I think my suggestion would be, why can't you just talk to the school's authorities and then you postpone
and
then after the wedding things have settled,
okay,
then you book after again. Because this guy is, I don't trust them now.
Okay. All right.
I don't really trust them.
Okay. What do you think the problem is preaching at the school?
We ship so many Bibles here and stuff.
Because you are now the center of attraction, right?
Okay.
You never know what can happen.
Okay, now we'll preach the gospel there tomorrow. We're only going to be there for 20 minutes, 30 minutes.
They've only given us like 10 or 20 minutes,
yeah.
Right?
So yes,
yeah. We'll give them the gospel and we'll get out of there. And we'll give them what we've got. I don't think immigration's going to mess around with me until I go and get the green card, you know, after we get married. And so that'll be my impression is, you know, for whatever reason, they were after Pastor Anderson. And so...
They weren't after you because they could have detained you.
Yeah, they could have detained me then. And so, you know, how long I'll be welcome here, I don't know. But I seriously doubt they're not going to pull me out this week.
Yeah, but now that he's gone, you're the target.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I don't think I'm going to be the target this week. I mean, we're just going to go soul winning. We're going to do what we were supposed to do. And whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
And so.
Even though Pastor Anderson's been deported, you know what? That's not going to change anything. We came here to go soul winning, and that's what we're going to do. As a matter of fact, I'm going to keep going soul winning for the rest of the day.
This mall's crazy. You just park yourself in front of the entrance and just people flock to you and you just give them the gospel. And then people around them that you're watching them watching you, and then they come to you and they're like, they want to know. They ask you questions. They want to know what I was talking to two guys right now, and there was a guy who was, you know, standing about 10 feet away, and he was like answering the questions for them. He's like, it's eternal. You don't deserve it because you're a sinner, right? You know, you can't lose it. You know, he's going to give it to you because he loves you, right? He's like, it's like the Coles notes, the Cheat notes. It's crazy. We're getting this whole mall saved.
So while I was ordering the burger from the two checkout guys, I got them saved. And then Shane, who's a machine, had this whole table over here with the rest of the waitstaff restaurant, about five waitresses, giving them the gospel. Got three girls saved. And promised the manager, who kept having to go back to work, promised the manager to come back today and give her the gospel. So that's what he's doing right now. And it's just the Wimpy Burger, man, loves us here. And we've just been getting like the whole place saved. So it's awesome.
But that's how it's been for a lot of these shops.
Every single shop, the Mug and Bean, we've gotten basically everyone at the Mug and Bean saved. The Nando's Chicken, we've got their whole restaurant saved. Like there's a theater upstairs, we got every single those person saved. I mean, like every shop we go to, we've been here for two or three days now, and everywhere we go through this whole mall, everyone waves at us and says hi, because we've all got them saved. So this is the most fruitful place I've ever been in my life. Like every single person I talk to just about, that I stop to ask, they all want to hear the gospel.
Okay, so Friday at 1 p.m., we're going to wipe out this whole restaurant.
At Mug and Bean.
So we're going to save the entire restaurant this Friday at 1 at Mug and Bean.
You got an appointment with them?
Appointment.
We made an appointment with the whole staff.
Appointment for salvation.
The whole staff is like, yeah, we'll meet you there at 1 o'clock.
That's right.
It's going to be cool.
That's how we roll.
Blessed is he who is employed at the mall.
Yeah.
Blessed is he who is employed at the mall here in Botswana. The Riverwalk. They're all getting saved.
Now, tomorrow morning, it looks like we have a chance of preaching at a school tomorrow. I don't even know if they know we've reserved it about 6 weeks ago, but we haven't followed up, and you know, we don't know what they've heard on the news and so forth. So the door might be slammed on us.
Oh, yeah.
But if so, we're gonna go soul winning up in Nail's home village, which is Molopolo Lake.
It's really awesome.
It's the largest village in the country. It's 65,000 people.
All right.
So our expectation was they were gonna be more receptive than Haberoni.
So, so it's just that's everyone we talk to will get saved.
Because they have a mall there.
Because we're just parking at the mall.
Nail and I have to do some administrative stuff for our marriage. So we're going to cut out for an hour or two. But based on our rides, you know, we'll start knocking doors together. And you guys can make up whatever schedule you want to come back home based on your rides.
So we're getting ready to go preach to the school here. We've got an assembly in the yard with the whole school. So what we're going to do is we've got like a ton of these USB CDs. We've got a pallet of Bibles that we're going to drop off. And we're just going to preach the gospel to the whole school. And then there's a group of us here. So what we're going to do is we're going to break into like individuals, and we're just going to go and talk to, you know, as many kids as we can before they kick us out of here. Man, that was incredible. Like, man, we got to preach the gospel to the whole school. You know, we were handing out Bibles and DVDs. We were like throwing them into the crowd. Some of the kids in the back weren't getting any, so I took a stack and I attempted to go to the back with them to give it to them. And some kids spotted me and they just like swarmed me and they just grabbed them and I just like threw them and ran. It's incredible to see how hungry they were for this stuff. At one point, there was a couple of, you know, we gave one kid a Bible and the rest of the kids jumped on top of them and they were just like biting each other to get the Bible, and the teacher was trying to separate them. It was insane. So after we did all that, and this is just the assembly, after we did that, we went over, we broke into individuals and we witnessed to the teachers and students, and I don't even know how many salvations we got because we haven't had a chance to count them yet, but it's just amazing. It was so receptive, the school.
So Garrett and Nao just took the rental car. They're headed to the marriage license to get it signed off there. But while they're doing that, we're gonna go soul winning here and hopefully get this whole place saved. So it's a great day. Super excited about the rest of the week. And so yeah, let's get to it. What just happened, man?
Okay, so I just got a phone call from Rob. He said they went to the license bureau to, I guess, file the license for Garrett, and the police showed up and picked them up. And so while I was talking to him, I asked him, where are you? He goes, we're here. And then somebody yelled at him, and then he hung up the phone. So I don't know where they are right now. So
now we're going. Do you want to try calling them back?
Yeah, we'll try calling them back right now.
Nothing, huh? Dude, this is intense, man.
Yeah.
So this wedding is not happening.
Hey, what up?
Hello?
Nao, what's going on?
We're at the police station.
Okay, so what's happening?
It doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good?
Yeah. Do you know where the police station is?
Yeah, we're going there.
We're
right going
to be there in 10 minutes.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
She doesn't look too happy.
Oh, man, it's not. The wedding's off.
So if Garrett went to go get his marriage license and the police were already there waiting for him to get him, that can only mean one thing, that basically the president has, like, made the decree and we're just all gonna get round up. Like, either we, whether they're at the church tonight or police station there, I think we're all gonna get deported.
I mean, we're on the front page today of literally, like, seven newspapers.
Every one.
Every newspaper. This is one of them, but there's even better ones where he's a full front page.
It's in my bag.
Yeah, right here. Yeah, exactly.
Gonna drive.
Where's it?
Where's the car?
Where's the front?
Where's my car?
Where do you drive in? Right here?
Is that the car there?
That's the car. Well, I'm not sure.
That's not the car.
So where do you get the license from? The marriage license?
Yeah, it's somewhere this left side.
Oh, so it's the same complex?
Yeah, but this left side.
Okay. So they gotta be here.
So do you wanna go in and try and get the key?
Yeah.
And then
give me the number.
Hey, if they ask you like who are you, just say I'm a taxi driver, I need their keys.
Alright, we're sending him in.
Not answering?
Neither her or Ron.
What happened?
I can't find them inside there.
What they
I
say?
Asked, a police guy, he's telling me that he doesn't know anything.
Oh yeah, he doesn't know anything. Mm-hmm. Is there another police station?
No, I only know this one.
You only know this one?
You're gonna ask for Neo and say, hey, I need the keys. And then
yeah, you're a taxi driver, you need the keys.
And then you're gonna ask where the car is at. Yeah, you go with him. And then ask for the keys, and then grab my black.
This is how it's gonna happen.
This is
gonna drive by, and they're gonna see us, and then Kumo's gonna drive to the hotel.
Yeah. All right, they're on a stealth mission. We're too scared. We're like,
well, it's not a stealth mission if Ryan's going with them. I don't know why we sent Ryan in there.
Yeah,
it's fine.
We're like the goats in the back of that.
We're willing to sacrifice Ryan for this.
What do you mean? Ryan gets out of these things. We get sacrificed.
What's that?
They are gone.
They're gone?
Yeah.
Where did they take them?
We don't know. They are with the immigration. I don't know.
Where would immigration be? Like, where would they take them? Would they take them to the office down there or here or where?
They were here, then I don't know where they went.
But they did get arrested, though, right?
Maybe they are arrested. No, just wait and check the station commander, ask him where.
Is that his office right there?
Yeah, it's
okay. They knew who we were talking about, but he said he doesn't know where they are, and then I said, they're still here, correct? And he goes, yeah, they're still here. They're over there. Talk to the commissioner. So I have no idea. So we're going to go talk to the commissioner. I don't know if they're here or not.
That's them. That's how they took Pastor Anderson out, just like that.
With the siren and everything?
That's the siren, that's them.
What do you mean that's them? Just saying like that.
Dude, this is terrible.
This is awesome.
We come back for
him. We'll come back for him.
We'll come back for him, yeah. We gotta get his cameras. Like,
yeah,
before we get deported, we gotta figure out where his cameras are.
Look at the cameras for sure.
He's up here on your left.
Yeah.
So I went and talked to chief of police or whoever, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the Volkswagen that we're looking for is silver, correct?
Yep. Yeah.
He said silver Volkswagen gone, and I'm like, gone where? And they said they either drove it back to Gabron or towed it back.
What?
So he said they have it, like the cops have it.
What are you talking about?
That's my understanding. It's broken English, but that's my understanding. I hope he's wrong.
Hello?
Hello, Shane?
Yes.
Don't you have your last contact number?
Or your phone number?
Yeah.
What's going on? Is there...
Why? What's going on?
No, I'm actually looking for her. I don't know where she is.
I don't have it, honestly.
Oh, you don't have it. Where are you?
We're headed back to Gaborone. Do you know where they're at?
I haven't talked to Neil, but I know Laura is around in Monaco.
Yeah. Oh, you don't know about Neil?
Not yet.
Yeah, I don't know where Lola is.
All right.
Bye-bye. Okay.
All right, do you have no new news for us?
Good night.
So they want Lola?
That's kind of strange you're looking for Lola of everybody that's here.
Hello?
Hey, Pastor.
Hey, what's up, man? What's going on?
So we got a call from Nao's brother that they're looking for Lola. He didn't say where he was at, but I heard sirens in the background, so I'm assuming he's at the police station. And he was trying to get Lola's number.
Well, it sounds like they're trying to ban everyone who was banned from South Africa now or something. They just do whatever they're told.
Yeah.
That's obviously what's going on. Basically, that means that NAR is in danger, and you. I think priority number one is that you try to get the car back.
Yeah.
So go to the immigration office.
So go to immigration?
Important, right? Because the thing about Darren is it's out of your hands, Paul. It's not your... You can't control it.
Yeah.
It's out of your hands now. So I would just focus on getting the car back so you can get your gear and get your stuff and whatever. Because this other thing is just... It's either going to happen or it's not.
Yep.
All right, cool, man.
All right, well, that's all I got. We're going to go down and try to see what we can find out at immigration.
Just look, for me, the only catastrophe is that there was this huge wedding planned, and it's just all falling apart. Like, the wedding is the catastrophe.
Yeah.
And I don't regret it, because it's probably going to make an awesome movie, and it's opening people's eyes and waking people up to what's going on in the world. And it's probably going to inspire people to go to Botswana with the gospel.
All right,
well,
very good.
It is, man. There's a lot of people praying, and whatever happens is going to happen. You know? Hey, so you guys, I just need one of you guys to bring my stuff home, obviously.
Yeah, we will. Back. We'll get all your stuff back. And we'll, yeah, don't worry about that.
The service tonight really should go forward. Get somebody to preach, just because there might be a whole bunch of people that show up from all the controversy. You know what I mean?
All right, you got
apologize
it.
Apologize to people and explain what happened, but have some service. All right, bye.
Bye bye. Yes, where are you? Where are you?
I'm being asked about everything. I'm at the immigration.
Do you have our car? Do you have the rental car?
What?
The rental car.
Rental car?
Yes.
So, what are they doing? What are you guys doing at the police?
What?
The government's asking.
What are you doing at the police?
We're looking for the rental car. We are looking for the rental car.
We're looking for the rental car?
Yes.
You're looking for it from the airport or the police?
The car that was rented. We're looking for it.
That you drove.
That the one that you drove.
Oh, yes. That's funny. I don't know why.
Hello?
Okay. How many are you there?
Where's the car?
They're trying to find them.
Where are you?
Where's the car?
Where? There's two of us.
Two of us. Okay. Who are you with?
Where's the car? Ask where's the car.
We just want to know where the car is.
Okay, meet me. Okay.
I have no idea.
I know.
Okay, just wait there.
Okay.
Let's go.
Alright.
Let's go. We're being set up.
They have sold us out.
We gotta go.
Hey. That guy said this is the headquarters. If you want to go anywhere, you have to go to the actual station.
Yeah, let's go. Dude, something just transpired. Nao's setting us up, man.
What do you mean, Nao?
Yeah, so, let's go. Drive.
Okay.
Garrett's
Garrett's fiance, is that still at the government building?
and they are trying to find out where we are. So they had her call, trying to track us down where we are, and they're asking, who are you with? How many are you? Where are you? And any question we ask her, she won't respond to. And you can hear the government person in the background feeding her answers and responses. So we don't know where the car is. She wouldn't answer where the car is. She wouldn't answer where she is. She's
crying too. She was crying.
Yeah, but they're looking. They told us to wait there.
They want to find us. They're trying to find us now.
There's only a couple places the car could be.
Now let's think about time frame. It's 4:00. Okay. We gotta do a sermon.
They're gonna find us at
They're gonna find us at the church, right?
So do we keep going? Or
should we keep going?
Just have a church somewhere else. It doesn't have to be at the.
But no one's. Everyone's gonna show up to our church. So
I gotta go back to the church.
Should I call pastor and give him a little download?
Yeah, let's give him the download. Yeah.
The game plan right now is get all of this stuff together and bring it back with us, and we're all going to meet up at church at 6, because what we're thinking is they're probably going to be at church waiting for us, and we're thinking, hey, if we're all going to get deported today, let's try and get some cool service of us trying to have a church service in Solwyn, and the government drags us out of there.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay.
But if you can make it through church tonight, then the people who are not under suspicion just stay far away and just get as many souls saved as they can and not screw up their return flight.
Yes.
Well, so. what about the car? Has the car been located?
No. That's what we were trying to find out. She wouldn't give any information.
Okay, but you guys haven't seen it in any parking lot.
No.
As you go.
No. And we don't have the keys to get in there anyways, so.
Yeah, because Garrett has the keys.
Right.
Wow.
All right,
I gotta let you
guys
go. Keep me posted to the future development.
All right,
thanks, Pastor.
Well.
Hey, dude.
Hey, what's up?
Nothing, dude. The bad news: me, Nar, and Garrett are being deported.
You're being deported? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, anyways, I gotta catch a flight. I booked a flight to get out of here at like 7:45. I gotta get my stuff.
Okay.
All right. So what I need to do is I don't have the keys to Amy's place. I need somebody to go there and open the door, because I got to get my stuff. I got to leave. I got to hustle.
Look, I don't know any of these people's phone numbers. I don't have any of their phone numbers.
Yeah, but are they not with you?
No. Everybody's split up, man.
Okay. Who are you with?
Hey, do you know what happened to the rental car?
The rental car is at the immigration place.
Where? How am I going to get that?
I don't know. Hang on. How are they going to get the rental car? So I guess you got to meet up, or they'll come to you and pick you up or something.
I don't think. What about our guy?
We're getting deported. No stop.
Okay.
Let's have a good meal.
So what do we do here?
So, Rob, is there anything funny happening, man?
Yeah, we gotta talk later. Okay, all right, let me try making some phone calls and see if I can get a hold of you. I'll call you back.
Call me back before you leave.
I'll call you right back.
All right, bye.
Take it back.
See, he didn't seem like he was being...
Yeah, but I got a call. No, dude, he said there's something funny going on.
He did.
Yeah. I'm going to call Seth, because Seth was trying to get to Ami's house. Seth's bags are gone, unless he wants to get deported.
Hey, listen, abort the mission as far as the church service. No church service. Because it sounds like they're trying to deport everyone.
Yeah.
Which is a really bad situation if that happens. So that's going to cost a crap load of money. And they make you pay your own flight and everything, okay? So what needs to happen is the people that are not being followed or under any suspicion or anything need to just stay the hell away from anybody who is into trouble or being followed. And if you get caught, just don't rat on other people. Just name the people that you know have already been caught.
Okay, so this is my only issue, right? I have no money, no passport, no ID, no car.
You need to be paired up with somebody who has it.
Okay, no car, no clothes. I had my bags for less than 24 hours.
But it's great if you guys could stay there and be people Christ. You know what I mean?
So, all right, we'll pass that information on.
I gotta go back to that church building though. All my stuff is there.
And make sure that they end up flash drive.
Just stake it out.
Okay, so Nao is untrustworthy. Nao is untrustworthy, and her brother is totally untrustworthy. Moses was acting super weird.
They've been tainted, yeah.
They've both been tainted, so.
Got it.
Okay.
All right,
bye. You have my car? Great. Can you? Okay. Can you drop it off at the house? I have no idea where I'm at right now. This is why I don't want to come, because I don't want to get deported. I can't take a chance to get deported. I'm gonna send someone over there to grab the keys from you, okay? I can't hear you. I'm having a hard time understanding you. If I come there, you guys have like these, you're with NAR and he's being deported. That means an agent is with him. Why would I come there? You know what I'm saying? It sounds like you're being a little deceptive. That's why. Hey, Garrett, I'm not going to get deported if I go there, right? No one's hiding out for me?
Every time you say deported, everyone looks.
No, they don't. They're going one day from here. They're escorting NAR 9 airport.
Okay, just leave the keys for me. And make sure the car's locked, but just leave them in the door, okay?
I'll leave the keys between the front door. For about 10 or 15 minutes.
Okay, this isn't a setup, right, Garrett? Not that you know of. What is that? Sounds weird. Okay, all right. Are you sure that sounds weird, Garrett?
Just be careful. Just make sure, be careful. There's no cars around here.
Okay.
If there's any cars, just get out of here.
Okay, you got it. All right. Thanks,
okay.
Garrett.
So, you know, just treat it like that. If there's anything here, just get the hell out of here. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Garrett.
Okay. See you.
Bye.
Lola just called Nao, and it seemed like Nao was behaving strangely. So she wanted Lola to come to the airport, but she didn't want to say why. Right? So we don't trust.
Don't send Nao Lola to the airport. Nobody go to the airport.
No, we definitely won't. Okay, brother.
Okay, take care.
All right. We were thinking of maybe going on safari.
Yeah, so were we.
Yeah, so were we. We'll call you later tonight.
Okay, well, I have a friend who can maybe book us give us a good deal on a safari.
Okay, well, we got to get through the next... Sam, we got to get through the next couple of hours. We'll call you in a couple of hours.
All right, sure. So thank you.
Yeah, okay. All right, thanks. All right, bye.
All right, so... Ryan and I are headed to go get our rental car. It has all my camera bags and stuff in the trunk, so hopefully it's there. Hopefully we can get everything we need and continue on with this trip. But I'm a little nervous because Nao sounded really sketchy earlier, so did Moses, and that's who I'm kind of going to get it from. So supposedly Garrett had them leave the keys to the rental car underneath the doormat. So hopefully it's there. We can get the car, get all our stuff, and get out of there. And so that's what we're doing.
Beep, 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 beep
I'm not sure why Garrett didn't leave the keys of the car where he said he was going to leave the keys, but luckily the windows were rolled down enough that we were able to break in. So we have my camera bags, we have the footage. Now all we have to do is figure out how to get the rest of the luggage out of the house. So, this right now is kind of our last trip to Faithful Word Botswana. I guess the church is not happening. We're going to go back, grab all the hymnals, grab all the media, grab everything that's in the building that we can get. We're going to leave all the chairs, but this is it. Faithful Word Botswana is not happening. It's sad, but I just want to get my stuff and get out of here. So here it is. We just cleaned out everything out of the church building and everything except for these chairs. And we're getting out of here, man. We're just leaving everything else. Some trash there. Looks good, man. Looks good?
Looks good.
All right, so say goodbye to this baby. It's the last time we'll see it, probably.
I don't know how to kill the lights, but whatever.
I just think it's crazy how the president and the government can influence so much when the people here are so thankful and grateful. Like Pastor Anderson is getting thanked on the airplane as he's being deported. Everyone we talk to agrees with us, but yet it's just the government that wants us out. It's pretty crazy.
It's rude.
The more people they deport, one, the more people are interested in what we're doing. And it seems like the guys that came here are not even discouraged. Everyone's still soul winning. Yeah, plans have changed, but the more it changes, it seems like the better everything is. It's the more publicity, the more we're in the paper. That's actually what we want. They actually help us get the word out. It sounds like, by the way of it, that we're actually not fully kicked out of the country. It sounds like Garrett might be able to come back. So, who knows? But at the end of the day, more people are getting saved, and more people are hearing about Faithful Word Baptist Church.
We need to record what just happened because that was just too intense, man.
So Paul and I, we had our driver taxi go back to Brother Garrett's house to get the bags, Pastor Anderson's laptop, his equipment, Brother Garrett's stuff.
And Lola's passport.
Lola's passport, the most important. As soon as we pull up, we see the army probably a block or two away. They didn't look like they were coming our way. They're already dismounted.
That's why we thought we were safe for a second, because they looked like they were going away, but the army was there when we pulled up.
It looked like they were doing something else. Like they weren't even in our direction.
Yeah, I mean, we should have known better. As soon as we saw all those military vehicles in that area, we should have aborted the mission.
We parked. Paul and I got out. We went in the house real quick. But what was really weird was his car was already gone.
Yeah.
We had no idea where his car went.
Dude, this is crazy. The military is literally outside the house right now. We're like wanted criminals here for doing nothing.
Wait, what's going on?
We need a different driver to come pick us up.
Are you guys at Garrett's house?
Yeah, dude. The army just literally pulled up and are searching Kumo's car right now.
Kumo, that's your driver, right?
There's an army patrol truck, dude.
With like a ton of guys.
They look like soldiers, not cops.
Yeah, they're soldiers.
And you guys are at Garrett's house.
Yeah, here, here they come, dude.
We'll close it. Close the window, dude. Are they coming to us?
They're stopping and talking to every... So there's a couple locals that are on the streets walking around. They're talking to them right now.
They're seeing if we came in.
Why did you guys go to his house?
Because we had to pick up Paul's bags.
Oh.
And Pastor Anderson's...
Shut the door. Shut the window.
Hold on. So Pastor Anderson's, all his stuff was here. So we came to pick it up along with Paul's.
But we shut now. Crap.
They're searching the whole car.
Do we have anything in there?
My bag's in there.
No, it's not. What bag? Ryan, I'm telling you, man, I wish I would have started recording this earlier, but the army was literally stopping and talking to everyone that walked by this house. Moses completely screwed us.
All right, they're driving away.
Dude, get out of that window.
They're going the opposite direction. Oh, nope, they're coming our way.
Hey, tell us what's going on right now, man.
All
right,
so we went back to Garrett's house to pick up Lola's passport, Paul's gear, Pastor Anderson's bags. And as soon as we got in here, our driver parked on like two blocks down so he wouldn't get caught. And the army rolled up searching them. Now they're doing patrols throughout out the street.
So we're stuck in this house right now. And this is intense, man. I think they're going to round us all up. Kumo just pulled up. He's not going. Go, dude. Get out of here. He's giving us a wave. We told him if anything happens, leave. I mean, do you think it's a good idea to go? All right, we're laying in the backseat of the car. We ran out of there. Oh, man.
We need to get them from my ex. I don't know what. We need to come back.
We need to get out of here.
Yeah.
We need to just get out of here. Oh, man, dude. I can't believe we got out of there.
Crap. The army's right there.
Cool. Really?
Dude, there's an army truck right in front of us.
Just...
We're
busted?
No.
Get down.
But the army's in front of us,
hey,
bro.
Slow down and get away from this truck.
Turn a different way.
Yeah, we'll turn somewhere.
Turn a different way.
Can you get it for us?
Turn on the next road, man.
Why is he
Moses
so...
tried to set us up, man.
Why is that guy being so like?
Where are you? Turn on the next road. You need to get down, man. You need to get down.
I think it's time to sit us up.
Moses?
Sit down. Get down, man. Seriously, you.
Here, hold on. Let me keep. Yeah, there we go. We're gone. He's gone. We're good.
I need your phone.
Right here.
Oh, sorry.
We got it.
Hey Ryan, this is Paul, man. You guys cool?
Yeah, I think we're good for now. But we gotta get out of here, dude. It's too hot down here. There's like 30 military and immigration officials downstairs in the lobby.
They're in your hotel?
Dude, we just went down to go to breakfast and we stopped to tie Isaiah's shoe. And there's like 30 military and immigration officials downstairs. We almost walked right into it. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why they're here, but we got to get out of here. It's too hot in this area.
So who knew you were staying at that hotel?
Nail and Garrett are the only ones. We were just talking to Nail about it last night. She was like, oh yeah, I know the hotel well. We're going there on our honeymoon. And, you know, I don't know anyone else who knows where we're at right now.
Wow. Well, just
I guess just help Sam plan the safari that we were talking about, and we'll just take that the next couple days to lay low.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea. I gotta go, though. I'll give you guys a call back. I'm out of airtime.
All right, brother. Well, we'll talk soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
What did they say to you, Kimo?
What am I doing there? And
oh, man.
What inside the car? The fish in the car and all that.
Why did they say we have to search the car?
Yeah, why did they say that?
I don't know. They said, let's open the trunk. We want to see what's inside.
Wow.
Did they sound like they were searching for somebody?
Yeah, something like that.
You opened the trunk?
I opened the trunk. They searched the trunk.
Yeah. Wow.
Dude, this is intense, man.
So how is Moses related? He's
the brother of Neo.
Really? Wow.
You know what's crazy? This is probably the people I used to track and we used to kill down. This is probably how they felt. Like,
oh, yeah. This is how they felt.
Like,
but their lives were at risk. Our lives aren't at risk.
Sleeping in a different place every night, yeah. On the run.
Wondering, like, when the drone's going to come and, like,
and bomb them.
Switching SIM cards, phones. Yeah.
Logan, how crazy is this, man?
It's pretty crazy. Yeah, like, that's what I was asking when I get, like, how many, like, what do you think we get? Like, what's the exchange rate in heaven for getting arrested for the cause of Christ? Like, is that, like, a diamond in your crown? Is it a ruby? Like, what do you get for that?
I don't know. Are you glad you came on this show, man?
Absolutely. It's
dude, this is, like, the most intense thing, dude.
Yeah, like there's of events in my life. It's marriage, the birth of my child. Going to Botswana.
So three of the waiters came outside, and they were standing up people a bit away and looking at Paul. And I thought they were looking at Paul because he had a big glob of sauce on his cheek. And so I was like, oh, he's got stuff on his face. And then they walked over and presented us a newspaper with Paul's face right on it and said, is this you? And we said, what, all Americans look the same? There's the C's not wearing the hat.
Oh, man.
We've been in the hotel the whole time trying to stay low. And the minute we decide, let's just go get some lunch in the hotel lobby. Mm-hmm. Now we're on the newspaper. We gotta get out of here.
This is getting crazy, man. We need this guys or something.
So, think I'm good, man. I'm ready.
Looking fresh.
Yep.
So let's get out of here before they come bust down this door, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
This is our escape, so we're moving to the next location. We've abandoned this hotel and moved on to the next hotel.
Going to the safe house.
Going to the safe house.
This is the perfect hideout.
What's up, guys? Yeah! We finally reunite. And we're all still here.
Did you disguise?
Dude, we went to...
Wait, did you disguise? I might smell a little bit.
What's up, man?
Good.
Where have you been all my life, man, huh?
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Man, we all reunite. What's up, man?
What's
up?
Good to see you.
Oh, I know you.
I think it's worth it.
What's up, man?
Made it.
Don't put it on. Don't put it on camera.
You're already banned from every country. You might.
Then no, I'm not gonna talk about Neo on camera.
You know.
I'm sorry.
Is it bad?
I'm not gonna upload it to you.
Yeah. What did she say? Straight away, she said, "Where are you?"
Yeah. She says first thing she asks,
yeah.
"Where are we?"
Yeah. Yeah.
Where are we? Next thing. You know where? And she asks twice.
Yeah.
She asks twice, "Where are you?" Oh, and then the story is, she's like, oh, I lost my keys. You know, you have spare keys. You need to give them to me. Now, she lives with a guy who works next to the house. So why doesn't she just go over there? So he starts telling her, they're like, go talk to him.
Get
the thing. And she's like, no, I need your keys. You need to come give me the keys. You know, where are you? And we told her a lie and then just...
We told a lie.
So I emailed Garrett, and then about 7 hours later, he emailed me back. He's talking about his fiance. She says her phone is tapped. I don't think her Skype is tapped. I'll tell her to talk to Moses about returning the car. She's fine. She knows this is nothing compared to Rahab the harlot. And I have, of course, asked Garrett how he's doing. He says, I'm fine. I heard your voice yesterday at the immigration office. Thanks for trying to make contact. So when I was running around the building looking for him, I was right next to him and didn't know him.
No way. Oh, that's what he's talking about?
So, yeah, remember I was going through all the floors? They actually heard my voice looking for him.
Oh, I'm sorry, he was there.
Yeah.
Hiding him.
He sent the second email. It says, Neil says she doesn't know who has the keys and she doesn't trust her brother right now and believes his phone is tapped as well.
That's it. That's a... It's crazy, man. That's a crazy...
I'm glad he contacted us, so...
So we know Nao is just
Nao's
scared.
Okay. Her phone's compromised. She doesn't want to talk on it. That makes more sense.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Who is this?
It's Neil. Did you guys check the car?
No.
Yeah, things are not looking good.
Why?
So, I think the state took the car.
Okay.
And they may want to investigate you guys.
For what?
I don't know. Because, like, if the car is not there, because they want to see you guys.
Okay.
You know what I'm thinking? This is just my opinion, I think. Okay?
Uh-huh.
But I'm thinking, because it's not looking that good, I think, because you guys are leaving on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
So what I'm thinking is that you guys show yourself, right, to them. And then I think, the way I'm thinking, I don't think they're going to do what they did with Garrett and others. They may be thinking that you're running away from something.
Oh, you know? Man.
I think they may just like want to investigate you guys.
Okay.
And then maybe it could take up to Sunday.
Okay, we gotta go. Thank you. All right, bye.
Okay. Huh?
Hey, we'll call you back.
Up to 5 days.
Whoa, dude.
You got right guys.
Not showing up.
Dude, sketchy, huh? So they have my rental car. They're like holding it hostage.
Call 1-800-HERTS.
She said the phone's tapped.
No, that's not the important thing right now.
She said the phone's tapped, so they knew about the plan and the keys and where to put it and all that. So they went there, grabbed the car. So you have to go to get the car, you know, before you leave to get your stuff.
But where?
To the government.
So this is how every day has gone so far. We wake up thinking, oh man, this is a great day. We have a great breakfast. We plan a good day, and then it just like all goes downhill.
As soon as we start.
Yeah, as soon as we start.
I'm just going to head over to Joburg. I think my flight leaves Monday, but I'm going to leave a couple days early. I'm like the last Canadian here, so... I talked to Rob, and he said to just come over. We can go soul winning and go to church over there. And like I said, I'll just leave Monday, go back to Toronto. I've got the laptop in here. It's got the footage for the movie, so I'm going to try and get it out ahead of time. That way, if there's any problems, you guys will know before you head to the airport on Monday. And, that's it. I'm heading out.
All right, guys.
All right, here we go.
Be safe, man.
All right.
We'll see you hopefully
the
at
side,
the yeah.
If we get there.
Yeah. Give me a call if anything happens. Or who can we call?
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
All right. I'm going to get a SIM card.
All right, guys. See you, man.
All right. Okay. Take care.
Bye.
So now what we're trying to decide is how are we going to play this thing with the car and the stuff? Because Paul can't leave. Like, whenever he decides to leave this country, his passport's going to flag and they're going to detain him, right? So the problem is...
You think so?
Oh, for sure, because everything's electronic. Our only concern is, and there's probably nothing we can do about it, is that they're going to want to take him back to the main office in Haberoni and question him there. And then because the government office isn't open, you know, they're going to make him wait till Monday. Is kind of what we were thinking may happen. So we're kind of not too sure the best play for Paul.
Paul should give a backup hard drive of the footage.
We've already done that. We have multiple backups going out.
With someone that's already gone.
Yeah, we have multiple backups going out. Yeah, we're good on that.
Good. It's just when you go to the airport, Paul, you just need to go by yourself.
Yeah.
Hamburgers. It's our cuss week.
All right. Anyways, we'll talk later, Pastor.
Yeah, all right. See you later, man.
All right, bye.
It's too early to be on camera, Paul. I can't do that.
You look great.
No.
Oh, you're next.
So I just woke up after a great night's sleep. And of course, it's starting all over again. Pastor wrote me an email saying, call me ASAP. I got an email from Shane stating that he got detained at the airport. I mean, it's not good. So here, I'm going to call Pastor and see what's going on with everything.
Hey, I got a weird email from Mayo. I don't know if you heard about that or got that.
No, I never got it.
About, like, them, like, finding weird stuff in your guys' bags or something. I don't know if they're trying to plant stuff on you or if they're just, like, twisting what's in your bag.
What's
you
up?
Didn't hear about that?
What'd they say about what's in our bags?
Hello?
She's saying that in your bag there was a book on how to escape from prison and a book on, like, secret terrorists or something?
Secret.
I don't know what they're talking about.
Yep. Yeah. Secret terrorists. Good night.
I don't know. Maybe they're just exaggerating stuff for her to, like, to try to intimidate her or something.
So it's two books. Yeah, read the email. Well, I thought they were
going to
place.
It looks like the guys are going to be under investigation. Apparently their bags got searched, and in Sam's bag there was an axe, knife, and a poison. Well, in Paul's bag, there were books called How to Escape from Prison and Secret Terrorists or something like that. So it looks like now they say that the guys had an agenda coming here. I'm afraid that this email may be followed. Please pray for them. I called Shane to try to explain to him, asking him to go and turn themselves in so that if they get investigated, he would still make their flights on Sunday. It looks like he did not like what I was saying. He may not trust what I say at this point, and rightly so. So please advise them in a very good way, because honestly, at this point, I'm so worried about them. I wonder what our state will do, because now they want to say that the guys are not innocent. Have a good day. I wish there was a way of at least calling you, but all the phones I use are followed. Please pray for them, because my faith is wavering. I'm so worried. Our country is not a good country.
So what would you do if you were in my position?
Well, let me tell you my story first. So basically, I get to the airport, and I get to the immigration counter. The lady wants to swipe my passport, and when she swiped my passport, she just, like, stopped, and I see, like, her eyes open, and I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. So then she kind of looks behind her. She looks around, and then she's like, just wait a second, sir. And I said, am I under arrest? And they're like, no. So they took me to this immigration room. I waited there about an hour and a half. They got my luggage off the plane, all that stuff. And then the government showed up. And they were nice. And then they started just going into, like, where's Paul Whitberger? Where's the group? And then just asking more and more questions. Then they started searching my bags. And they went through all my bags, Paul, everything, like, top to bottom. And then they found my laptop. And they're like, what's in the laptop? And I'm like, nothing. And they're like, we're going to search the whole laptop. I'm like, okay. And, you know, I started getting nervous because obviously, you know, we have the footage for the movie in there. And then they grilled me for about another hour and a half, 2 hours. I don't even know. Just, where's Paul Whitberger? Where's Paul Whitberger? And then at some point they said, listen, if you don't tell us where he is, we have ways to get information out of you. They said, we can take you somewhere because you're in Africa. We can take you somewhere and we can just do things and get the information out of you if you don't tell us because you're hiding something. And I said, no, I'm not. And they said, well, we can take you. And I'm like, well, I don't want to go kind of deal. And they're like, listen, you're in Africa. You're going to sit there and take what we give you. You have no rights. And yeah, that's basically it. So start to finish, they tied me up for about 7 hours. I missed my flight. I had to buy another flight. And they're looking for you. Like, I don't know what. They just want you.
So, man, this sucks. So I don't fly out till 7 tonight. So basically what you're saying is I should probably go to the airport right away.
Yeah, I would get Kumo and get him to take you to the airport, like, right now.
All right, brother.
Because they're definitely going to question you.
Yeah. Dude, I don't think I've ever been this nervous in my whole life. So...
Yeah. Well, it was pretty intense. I won't lie.
All right, brother. Well, I'm glad you made it through. We'll talk soon, all right?
All right, man. You take care.
All right, brother. We'll talk later.
All right. God bless. Bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
Hey, Teresa.
You know how worried I've been. Ah! I see him, Sam! I see him!
I'm alive.
Okay.
I just spent 30 hours in a small, tiny jail cell. Covered in pee.
Leaving Botswana turned into a complete nightmare. As soon as immigration scanned my passport, the look on the guy's face really said everything. I knew right then and there that I wasn't going to be flying out that day. I was arrested by immigration and taken to the airport police station, where they locked me in this tiny cell for about 4 hours. Then immigration turned me over to Botswana's Directorate of Intelligence Services, otherwise known as the DIS, which is very similar, and I say that loosely, to the CIA in America. The DIS then brought me to this unmarked facility. They took me into this really fancy boardroom where they already had all my gear laid out. They had all my camera bags, all my luggage that was confiscated a few days earlier with my rental car. They had everything laid out on this long table. They kept asking for me to show them the footage that I shot from the Gabs FM interview. They asked me to tell them where the rest of the members of the group were. After hours and hours of threats and intimidation, they took me to the central police station where they made me take off all my clothes and search me again. I was finally charged with terrorism and pressured into signing papers that I'd be incarcerated for 14 days while the investigation continued. They said I was a spy, secretly recording government officials. They said I was trying to poison their water supply and that I was looking at a life sentence. I was denied any phone calls. In fact, I even asked one of the arresting officers, is it okay if I called my wife? I said, you know, I'm sure my wife's worried about me. I just want to let her know I'm okay and where I'll be. And the guard looked at me and laughed and said, you're in Africa, bro. You have no rights. They then put me into this cell with about 15 other immigrants from Zimbabwe. And that's when I started to get nervous. I'm an extremely claustrophobic person, and the tiny cell was nasty and crammed with people. I was one of the last inmates brought in that night, so I had to sleep directly on the concrete with no blankets. And since I was clearly the outsider in that room, I was the one that had to sleep closest to the toilets, which gave off this horrific smell. The toilets were overflowing with piss and feces, and the cement was soaked in urine. We all had to eat out of the same stainless steel buckets. Everyone would lick their hands clean and then stick their hands back into the buckets and eat this nasty slop. There was no dishes or utensils. We all drank out of the same community water bottles. It was really the worst experience of my life. After about 30 hours of being in that cell, the door opened, they called my name, and they told me that they were going to allow me to leave the country and that I was being deported.
They took us to the room and told me, like, now, show us where those people are. I'm like, no, we don't know where those people are. And then they told us they're going to take us to jail. So at that point, we were panicking. And then my brother told them, okay, guys, give me one day. I know where these guys are. These guys are staying at my place. And the man said, okay, show us where the guys are. And then it's like, and my brother said, give me 24 hours. So after that, that's when I made the call to Shane. And then my brother wanted to know where you guys were. But honestly, me, I was very much worried about my brother's job and my friend's job.
Malusi Gigaba is a liar. He lied under oath. There is no way for him now to escape that. There is absolutely nowhere to hide now.
Home Affairs Minister Malusi Gigaba claims that a leaked video of a sexual nature is at the center of blackmail and extortion attempts against him. In a series of tweets, he apologizes to his family and the public for the, quote, pain and embarrassment, unquote, that the circulation of the video will cause.
Gigaba had, of course, been under fire for many issues, ranging from lying under oath to his relationship with the Gupta family, the creation of a sex tape, the Fireblade saga, and the list goes on. This is a guy who, by all indications, had presidential aspirations, was seen as potentially president of the Republic of South Africa somewhere down the line. And now he has resigned.
A dramatic arrest of one of the West's once powerful men in Botswana, former intelligence chief Isaac Khosi. He was apprehended in full view of cameras, in front of his family as well, and members of the public at the Sir Seretse Khama International Airport. The charges he faces, tax evasion.
I'm going to top on the government, I'm telling you. Hear me.
So when the mission trip that you saw in this film ended and everybody had gone home, actually everybody hadn't gone home. We had one guy from our church that we had stay behind for another 7 months in Botswana, and he continued the work. We also sent people to go work with him every month. Over the next 7 months, we'd fly different people out each month to encourage him, work with him, and they went soul winning together. They preached in schools. They handed out thousands and thousands of Bibles, flash drives, CDs, DVDs, and they worked with some of the locals and took the locals soul winning. And when all was said and done, in that seven-month period, they won an additional 1,000 people plus unto Christ. So in addition to the 411 that got saved during the missions trip, over 1,000 more people got saved in the following 7 months. It was just so receptive. You know, we wanted to stay and do more, and we got a lot more done, but there's still a lot more left to do. So we're hoping that someone will see this film and pick up where we left off.
Le prédicateur chrétien haineux Stephen Anderson de l'Église baptiste chrétienne Faithful Word de l'Arizona affirme qu'il lui est maintenant interdit d'entrer au Canada.
Jamaica has banned Holocaust-denying pastor Stephen Anderson from entering the country.
Hij wil zieltjes winnen. Dat schijnt te betekenen dat hij van deur tot deur wil gaan met zijn afkeurenswaardige, walgelijke boodschap.
Niet welkom en ik wil ook echt dat de staatssecretaris alles aan doet om dat te voorkomen.
En dat wil het COC nu ook en daarom hebben ze staatssecretaris Harbers gevraagd hem als ongewenst vreemdeling de toegang tot het land te ontzeggen.
Stephen Anderson has not only been banned from the Netherlands, but he was also banned from all the Schengen countries, which include Austria, Belgium, Czech Republic, Denmark, Estonia, Finland, France, Germany, Greece, Hungary, Iceland, Italy, Latvia, Liechtenstein, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Malta, Netherlands, Norway, Poland, Portugal, Slovakia, Slovenia, Spain, Sweden, and Switzerland.
Ireland has banned a US preacher known for anti-gay and anti-Semitic views, using a 20-year-old legal power for the first time. I have signed the exclusion order under my executive powers in the interests of public policy, said Flanagan in a statement.
Australia has joined more than 30 countries to ban American gay hate pastor Stephen Anderson.
And now New Zealand is the 34th country to ban me, which I think is great because every time one of these countries bans me, we're all over the news in that country, and way more people are hearing the gospel and finding out about our church and hearing the preaching of God's word on YouTube and on our church website. And when you ban something, it just makes it more popular. Think about when a rap song gets banned. More people want to listen to it. When it gets a parental advisory label, more people buy the album. And so by banning my preaching, they're actually just making it more popular. And I'm not the only person in our church that does soul winning. We have hundreds of people in our church who do soul winning, and there are hundreds of people all over America and all over the world that are going to continue this work, not just in Botswana, but in all these other countries as well. The people that do know their God, the Bible says, in the last days will do great exploits. And so I'm glad that things happened the way that they did. Because if it means more people hear the word of God, then I say praise God
for being deported.
Hey everybody, Pastor Stephen Anderson here from Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona in the United States of America with a very important message for you. But first, let me ask you a question. If you were to die today, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Well, the Bible tells us that we can be 100% sure. In the next few moments, I'm going to give you, God willing, that assurance. First of all, in Romans 3:23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every single person has sinned. That's pretty easy to understand. The Bible even says the thought of foolishness is sin. So even just thinking something stupid is a sin. The Bible says to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So even just not doing something good is a sin. So we've all sinned, and truth be told, we probably all sin every day because none of us is perfect. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Well, the Bible tells us that there's a punishment for our sin. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." But not only that, when we go to the end of the Bible in the book of Revelation, it talks about the second death. It says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And of course, the lake of fire is what we would commonly refer to as hell, a place where people will be punished for their sins for all eternity, a place of fire and brimstone, a horrible place of punishment. Well, in chapter 21 of Revelation, it has a list of who's going to hell. It says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So it mentions some pretty bad sins there, like murderers and sorcerers. But then it says, "All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And of course, we've all lied. So again, we've all sinned, we all come short, and we all deserve to go to hell, because even all liars, the Bible says, are going to hell, and we've all lied before. But the good news is that in spite of that, God loves us. And so, of course, God does not want us to go to hell. But of course, he wasn't kidding when he said that those people would have their part in the lake of fire. So he did something to save us. The Bible says, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So we're all sinners. We all deserve to go to hell. But then the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ died for us. Now, what the Bible means when it says that he died for us, it's basically saying that he took our punishment for us. So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lived on this earth. He lived a perfect life. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. He did a lot of miracles. Of course, we know he walked on water, healed the sick, raised the dead, turned the water into wine. But he also preached the word of God. Well, when you speak the truth, a lot of people get angry. A lot of people get offended. So there were a lot of people who hated Jesus. So they ended up arresting Jesus. He was beaten, spat upon, whipped, And ultimately, he was nailed to the cross. And the Bible says that when he was on that cross, he himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree. So every sin that I've ever done and every sin that you've ever done, it was as if Jesus had done it. Jesus was taking the punishment for our sins. Well, when he died on the cross, they took his body and they buried it in the tomb. His soul went down to hell for 3 days and three nights. And then 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. And he even showed the disciples the holes in his hands and the hole in his side to prove that he had literally, bodily risen from the dead. Now, of course, Jesus Christ died for every single person in the world. The Bible says he died not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. But is everyone automatically going to heaven? No, there's one thing that we must do to be saved. The Bible asks that question in Acts chapter 16, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Notice he didn't say, go to church and you'll be saved. Notice he didn't say, give money in the offering plate and you'll be saved. Notice he didn't say, clean up your life and stop sinning and you'll be saved. Those are all good things to do. But when it comes to being saved, the one thing that we must do to be saved is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16 is the most famous verse in the whole Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Not whosoever is good enough, not whosoever cleans up their life, but whosoever believeth in him. Because the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we're not saved by the works that we do. We're simply saved by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, not trusting in our own works or our own deeds. That's why the Bible said that salvation is a gift. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, a gift is something that's free. It's something that you don't have to pay for, you don't have to work for. If you had to pay for it or work for it, it wouldn't be a gift. A gift is paid for by the giver, and it's given out of love to the recipient. Jesus Christ paid for the gift of our salvation when he died on the cross for us. He paid with his own blood. All we have to do is just accept that free gift, and we just receive that by believing in Jesus, by putting our faith and trust in Jesus. Now, here's the most important part about this message. Once we believe on Jesus Christ, he gives us eternal life. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Well, the word eternal means forever. So if God gives us a gift that lasts forever, how many times do we have to get it? Only once, because it lasts forever. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So once we believe on Jesus Christ, we are saved forever. There's nothing we could ever do to lose our salvation. He promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, let's say you do something really bad after you believe on Jesus Christ. And let's just get kind of crazy and say that you were to do something as extreme as to commit murder. Okay. Well, obviously, if you commit murder, that's going to make God angry and God's going to punish you. But that punishment will come in this lifetime. Okay, we will reap what we sow in this life as Christians. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. So it's sort of like I have children. I actually have 11 children. And if my children disobey my rules, I'm going to discipline them. I'm going to punish them. But I'm not going to throw them out of the family. Okay, I'm not going to say to them, well, that's it. You're not my son anymore because you've broken my rules. It's the same thing with God. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So if you believe on the name of Jesus Christ, you are a son of God. You are a child of God. And just as I have rules for my kids, God has rules for his children. If you break God's rules, he'll discipline you in this life. Now, if you commit a huge sin like murder, you're going to get a huge punishment. You commit a huge sin like adultery, you're going to get a huge punishment. If you commit a smaller sin, you're going to get a smaller punishment, but you're going to be punished for your sins in this lifetime as a child of God, but you're still his son. He still loves you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Just as my children will always be my children, a child of God is always a child of God. Once we're saved, we're always saved because we have everlasting life. Look, I was never good enough to be saved in the first place. I can never be bad enough where he'll take it away from me because it's all by grace. So you only have to be saved one time. Now, just a quick review. We're all sinners. We all deserve to go to hell. Jesus Christ loves us. He died on the cross for us. He was buried and he rose again. That paid the price for our sins. And he offers salvation freely to anyone who will just receive that free gift by believing in Jesus. Look, if you think you're going to heaven because you're a good person, you're going to hell because you're not trusting Jesus, you're trusting yourself. If you think that going to heaven is because you go to church and you live a good life and you stopped sinning and you've turned from your sins and all, look, you're trusting in a works-based salvation. You're trusting in yourself. You need to put all of your faith and trust in Jesus Christ in order to be saved because Jesus warned that many people would come to him in the last day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and in thy name have cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Notice what those people are bringing up. Oh, we've done all these works. They think they're going to heaven because of their works. But the Bible says salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. You've got to have your faith in Jesus, not in yourself. And so if you are hearing this message now and you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for all your sins and rose again, and you believe that salvation is simply by trusting in his finished work on the cross, and you're willing to put all of your faith and trust in him, I'm just going to lead you in a short prayer where you could pray this to God and ask to be saved right now. And this is a one-time deal. Being born again is a one-time thing. So I'm going to lead you in this prayer. You can just repeat this after me, but make sure that you believe this and that you're saying this from your heart. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve to go to hell. But I believe that you died on the cross for all my sins and rose again from the dead. Please save me right now and give me eternal life. I'm only trusting you, Jesus. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you believe that, you are saved and you are saved forever. And that is the best news that anyone could ever tell you. That's why the word gospel means good news. That's great news. And so now that you're saved, you have two choices. You can continue to live the way that the world is living and you'll still be saved. You'll still go to heaven. But you're going to constantly be running into God's discipline and you're not going to be blessed by God like you could. Or you can start going to a good Baptist church, reading your Bible, learning more, following God's commandments, you know, doing the things that God wants you to do, and then you're going to be blessed by God. And so thank you for listening to this message. God bless you and have a wonderful day.